just praising the Lord. We're together again in one accord. Something good is gonna happen. Something good is in store. We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again in one accord. Something good is gonna happen. Something good is in store. We're together again, just praising the Lord one more time. We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again in one accord. Something good is gonna happen. Something good is in store. We're together again, just praising the Lord.
Amen. Well, I'm excited. It's Wednesday. It's family night. I wasn't supposed to song lead this evening, but traffic and everything, and so we're just called upon tonight, so just pray for me. I've got some songs, but we just want the Lord to have his way tonight. Have you come expecting? That's the big thing. If you come expecting, you'll get what you're receiving, and that's my desire tonight. I want to pray for Brother Aaron as he's going to be coming and speaking to us. Let's sing that little song, Ready to Leave, in a twinkling of an eye.
Some folks are building hopes down here and planning ahead.
Key of G.
So busy with their fortunes, they forgot what Jesus said about the wars and earthquakes and the fig tree budding leaves. But there's a group of people getting ready to leave, oh, ready to leave in a twinkling of an eye, making investments in the bank up in the sky. Happy preparation, not a reason to grieve. Are you in that number getting ready to leave? Sinner, what's the reason for your needless delay? While you're hesitating, Christ could come just any day. Spirit's calling, make your way, cavalry, and get in that number, getting ready to leave, oh, ready to leave in a twinkling of an eye, making investments in the bank up in the sky. Happy preparation, not a reason to grieve. Oh, are you in that number, getting ready?
Let's sing the first verse again.
Some folks are building hopes down here and planning ahead. So busy with their fortunes, they forgot what Jesus said about the wars and earthquakes, the fig trees budding leaves. But there's a group of people getting ready to leave, oh, ready to leave in a twinkling of an eye. We're making investments in the bank up in the sky. Happy preparation, not a reason to grieve. Are you in that number, getting ready to leave? Sinner, what's the reason for your needless delay? While you're hesitating, Christ could come just any day. Heed the Spirit's calling, way to Calvary, and get in that number, getting ready to leave, oh, ready to leave in a twinkling of an eye. We're making investments in the bank up in the sky. Happy preparation, not a reason to
to grieve. Are you in that number getting ready? Not a reason to grieve. Are you in that number? Ready to leave, oh, ready to leave in a twinkling of an eye. Making investments in the bank up in the sky. Happy preparation, not a reason to grieve. Are you in that number? Ready. I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. Oh, when I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Hallelujah. I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed.
Brother Chris Clayville, if you'd come and just open the service up in prayer. We have a number of prayer requests we want to remember tonight. We want to remember the Godwin family. They're sick. Sister Karen, I think you pronounce it Morgula, is sick as well. My brother Keith is asking prayer tonight. He's starting to retain fluid in his body, so we want to remember him. Sister Connie Hughes, continue to remember her. Brother Jeremy Reynolds is seeking God's will, so we just want to pray for his circumstance. The Lord would just come and just give him some direction. We want to remember Sister Sharon McCafferty's sister in prayer. She had surgery, so we just pray the Lord would just touch her body and give her a quick recovery. And Sister Carrie Whitlock, we don't want to forget about her, and Sister Tina Knobloch as well. Lord, just move on their behalf. They've been fighting for a while, so we just pray, Lord, just come in a special way. Brother Chris, if you come, if you have a need tonight, just raise your hand as we go to our Heavenly Father.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful to be able to have this opportunity to come into your house tonight. Lord, to put our feet under the table and, Lord, just worship you tonight. Help us to set aside all of the weights of the week and of the lives that we live and focus this time on you. Father, we've heard the needs that have been brought before the people. Lord, there's many that are sick, many that are hurting and need a comforter and a provider, Father. Lord, I think of the Hughes and the Borgliers, Lord, Brother Keith, Lord, the Godwins, the McCafferty's, Whitlocks, and the Knobloch's, Father. Pray that you would meet each of those needs according to your will and that you would be glorified in each of their lives, Father. For any of the other needs here that were unspoken, Lord, I pray that you would just move upon each one. May the outcomes be pleasing to you, Lord. Father, we ask you to be with the minister this evening. Be with Brother Aaron as he brings forth the word. Lord, speak to your people. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You may be seated. Again, I welcome you tonight in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those joining us online, God bless you. It's good to have you with us. And I just have a couple of announcements. Brother Tom is going to be needing some help in the fellowship hall after the service. So, brothers, if you're available, if you can help Brother Tom out, get some tables set up, some chairs for Sunday. And also, Brother Burley's congregation is going to join us again on Sunday. So I know we have the potluck. If we could maybe just bring some extra food and extra desserts just to make sure that they feel at home, that would be great. I really enjoyed the time that we had with them last Sunday. It was definitely a blessing. Let's sing The Great Emancipator as we just start getting ready to turn the service to Brother Aaron.
Once my heart and soul were fed, oh, by the binding chains of sin. But the great Emancipator, he set me free to worship him. Oh, glory, 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 hallelujah. Oh, blessed be his holy name, for he's the great emancipator. Shepherd found me, and he left.
brothers come, we'll take the tithes and offering. Oh, glory, 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 hallelujah.
On this offering, Lord, tithing, may it go to your specific purpose, Lord. We're so thankful. We just love you, and we want to say, bless us in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Why don't we sing, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. I think it's the key of C. Let's get ready to turn the service, Brother Aaron.
Oh, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. You saved my soul. You saved my soul when I was lost. Surely been good to me. You saved my soul when I was lost. You surely been good to me. You saved my soul when I was lost. Surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. Oh, not do. Well, you filled me with the Holy Ghost. Surely been good to me. Yes, you healed me with the Holy Ghost. Surely been good to me. You've healed me with the Holy Ghost. Surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. Sing it now, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Oh, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. Yes, you healed my body when I was sick. Surely been good to me. Yes, you healed my body when I was sick. Surely been good to me. You healed my body when I was sick. Surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. Oh, yes, Lord, Lord, Lord. You've surely been good to me. Lord, Lord, Lord. You've surely been good to me. Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. One more time. Oh, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Been good to me. You have done what this world could not do.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand upon our feet and go straight to the Word of God. So happy to have all of you tonight, especially with the new gas price. You can certainly see that you love the Lord. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Well, I remember Brother Keith Buchanan tonight, not feeling too well, you know, retaining a little bit of fluid. So I'm just going to pray that God will intervene for him. We also want to remember Sister Connie Hughes. Brother Barry mentioned that she went back to the ER today. We want to remember Brother Barry, who is not here tonight, and many other folks that are not mentioned that may not be feeling well. We just want to remember them. And obviously, we also want to pray for the upcoming meetings this weekend. We want the Lord to come and bless us in a mighty way. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that no matter what happens on the outside, we have just a place, Lord, a safe place that we can come and just enjoy your presence. And we can just forget, Lord, all our troubles, all things that happen outside. It just feels like a wonderful city of refuge that we can just lay our burdens down, where we can lay our worries down and just enjoy the freshness and the coolness of your spirit. We pray tonight, Lord, that you may you refresh us in your presence, Lord. May you help us, oh God, just to let go of the pressure, just to let go, Father, of all the depression and the anxiety, all the things that may be worrying our minds. Father, we are just committing it into your hands. Lord, we will not remember Brother Keith Buchanan. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for helping him this far. Lord God, we are just praying, Father, that you may intervene on his behalf. Lord, we believe that you are a healer that healeth all our diseases. And we know, Father, as we are in the season of Easter, that, Lord, you paid the price upon the cross of Calvary. And Lord, we've never left hope. We have never left our faith. We believe every day that you are still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, we have no doubt within our mind that you can help him, Lord, in this situation. We thank you and we love you, Father. As we remember Sister Connie, Lord, just you know, thinking about her 60-year wedding anniversary. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for blessing that couple with a wonderful family and being in the faith. Beautiful marriage for all these 60 years. Lord God, we pray that you may help her, Lord, during the later years of their life, oh Father. Lord Jesus Christ, we know that you are a healer of both the young and the old. We thank you for Sister Connie Hughes. We present her before your throne in Jesus Christ's name. Now we ask, Lord, that you may come and bless the reading of the word and take away the man and just, Lord, use the skin. Father, as one minister said, God wants Benja skins. He doesn't want the flesh, he just wants the skin. But you just take the skin, Lord, and minister to your people. Grant it tonight, Lord, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's open Job chapter 14, verse 7. Thank you so much, musicians. Thank you, Brother Jason. May God bless you, my brother. Job chapter 14, verse 7. Today we have a title that can be preached up to part 14 or part 61. But we're just going to condense it into one short service. If you have it, you can say amen. Amen. All right, verse 7, the Bible says, "For there is hope for a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But a man dieth and wasteth away, yea, a man giveth up the ghost, and where is he?" Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. You may have your seat. For just a little title tonight, we want to talk about revive, renew, refresh. Revive, renew, refresh. Just those three words. That's what we want to talk about. Being in the season of Easter, there was just, a lot of thoughts coming through my mind. But the Lord just placed this upon our hearts earlier this week, and it's just been, just been growing and growing, growing in my heart, and certainly up to this point. So Job was, he was in a situation, and Job, when he was in this situation, he was sitting on an ash heap. And many of us, no matter how spiritual we are, we find ourselves in ash heaps. Amen. We find ourselves in ash heaps, whether we want it or not, whether we make all the right calculations or all the right decisions, Every son of God goes through hardships in his life. Every son of God goes through trials and temptations. Because without trials, you cannot get character. And without character, you cannot reign in the millennium. And character is not a gift. Character is not something you get from a seminar. The seminar will equip you, no doubt. But character is something that you learn through your trials. Even, you know, in professional settings, right? At work, they will teach you this. This is what happens. You have to turn on this switch. If this happens, this is the procedure. This is all those things are fine. But it's different when you face reality. Many times, you know, reality is much more different than what you learn in school. Praise the Lord. So Job was in this situation. And he was trying to understand. He was trying to process, as we call it. You know, people often say, I'm still processing. So he was processing. And he said some words here. And he says, there is hope for a flower. There is hope for a tree. In other words, he was looking on the at nature. He was like, you know what? When a tree dies, it comes back again. When a flower dies, it comes back again. But what happens with human beings? You know, surely there's got to be hope for a man. Because a man, you know, Job was trying to understand how can a botanic life have a better cycle than human beings? Because Job was, you know, like right now we're in the spring season, praise the Lord. You know, you don't need me to remind you, just all the allergies will tell you that we're in spring. And spring is a wonderful season apart from the allergies, amen. Because spring is what comes after winter. And winter, the prophet tells us that winter represents death. Because everything dies during the winter. The trees, they die. The bears, they don't die, but they hibernate, right? And you know, the different animals, just about everything dies in winter. And I can't remember if I told you here before that there was, you know, one time, you know, working through in a funeral home company. And this business owner, they said their business, it goes up in the winter because a lot of people die in winter. A lot of old people die in winter, which is why you find that many people make a smart decision and move to warmer places when they get older. Amen. this is not to say that, you know, people should move from Canada, but, you know, we can obviously, you know, take them here in the Carolinas because it gets pretty warm. Amen. So because why? Because winter represents death. Because winter is everything dies. But when spring comes, new life comes. The flowers, they begin to bloom. Amen. And the sun rises. So this whole process, it talks about death, burial, and resurrection. And we are in the Passover season. Right now, the Jews are starting to celebrate their Passover until Thursday. We as Christians, we celebrate what we call Easter. Amen. And obviously, you know, I just want to, you know, say this here, that Easter is not about, you know, bunnies and you know, hunting. I don't know what you do here in the Western world. All kinds of things, right? I just saw an email from work say, oh, we'll be hunting for Easter eggs. I know, we're supposed to be hunting something. All I know is I declined it, so I didn't read all of it. I just read the subject and I declined. But I know we're supposed to be hunting something at work for Easter. You know, not that it's a bad thing. I mean, maybe for little kids, you know, they don't understand much. It's fine, but I feel like I'm at a point where I don't need to be doing that. Amen. I'd rather be in church worshiping God, right? So it talks about the resurrection. And many times we lose focus of what Easter is all about. Easter is about forgiveness. Easter is about Jesus Christ on the cross saying, Father, please forgive them. Easter is about Jesus Christ saying, it is finished. It's when Jesus Christ paid for my sins, he paid for your sins, and not only did he pay for your sins, he also forgave you. You know, it's one thing to have capacity, it's another thing to exercise that power. Like, for example, if you need food, I might have food, right? But then I have to give you. Amen. So Jesus, when he says, I forgive, he was actually exercising that power that he has. And Easter reminds us that we must forgive one another. Yeah. I don't think Easter is about just, you know, potlucks and God bless the potlucks. I love potlucks. So I hope you don't misunderstand me. Easter is about forgiveness. When you think about Easter, think about forgiveness. You know, one thing you can do this Easter, if you want to write it down, go and call someone you haven't spoken to in the last, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 10 years. Somebody that you feel like they hurt you, you don't want to talk to them, you probably hate them. Forgive them. You know, talk to them. That's the spirit of Easter. Easter is about forgiveness. Easter is about reconciliation. Easter is about the cross of Christ. Everything else we are doing, we are just reminded of that. If we miss that, we have missed the bigger picture. We cannot celebrate Easter when we don't talk to one another, or you know, you don't talk to this brother, or you don't talk to that brother. You know, brothers among brothers, they can't even shake their hands. We can't talk about Easter in those circumstances. Easter has to come back to forgiveness. Easter has to come back to a release. Easter released us from the bitterness of sin, from the bitterness of guilt. You know, because sin makes you feel guilty. But when you receive Christ, that guilt is gone. Amen. So Christ releases you so that you can release other people. Amen. Release, you know, people in your family. You know, as long as you don't forgive, you are carrying your weight. Now, I understand there's a difference between forgiveness and healing. Sometimes we confuse those two things. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may forgive someone, but you may need time to heal. Sure. Right? Like if somebody comes, somebody, you know, abuses you as a little child, you're traumatized your whole life. You know, it's not like you're going to forgive them and life goes back to normal the day after. You may need some time to heal from that. Sure. You know, if a partner does something wrong, or maybe they cheat on their wife or they cheat on their husband, you know, somebody may forgive, but it will take time to heal from that. Don't expect the poor little wife to, you know, embrace you the next day and everything goes back to normal. But the first stage is forgiveness. Then when you forgive, then you must also allow God to heal you. Allow God to repair your heart. Allow God to repair your wounds. Many times people forgive, but they don't allow God to heal them. They still live within the bondage of what happened to them. They still want to hold on to the old life. They still want to, you know, they can't get over certain things. Now, there is a reasonable time for you to heal and to grieve, but you have to come to a point where you have to let go of certain things. It's not only good, you're not just helping that person, you are helping yourself. Because if you don't forgive, you are carrying something that hurts you. What I'm telling you here is that people pay millions and millions of dollars these days to see a therapist, only to be told what I'm telling you now for free. All I need is a sticker upon my door to say certified professional therapist, and I charge your insurance and charge you a copay, and then I tell you something happened in your life. There is trauma in your life. Tell me about it. And then I listen to you for 2 hours, and then I say, you gotta let go. And I tell you a story. There was a cat, this happened. So this story means you should let go of that. And you say, oh, praise the Lord, I saw my therapist. Oh, they really helped me. Now, bless their heart, right? Just like doctors, I am not against that. But you know what? Most of these things, they come from the Bible. Sure. You know, you can pay something that you can get for free. Right. What I'm telling you, Easter is about forgiveness. And forgiveness is a therapy on its own. Music is a therapy. How many knows that? That's why we worship and we sing songs. Love is a therapy. Hugging one another is a therapy, right? These things are in the Bible. The Bible says, hug your son, hug your child, that he may not be angry. You know, people, when they write about Hitler, they say, did his mom hug him when he was young? What happened to him? Right? Because there's therapy in getting embraced, being loved. You know, this is why it's very important after the end of service, talk to someone. Don't just talk to your friends. Talk to someone. When you see someone new, greet them, shake their hand, and say, God bless you, pilgrim. Where do you stay? Are you staying in the area? Or is it your first time here? We are so happy to have you. God bless you. You have beautiful, lovely children. Oh, my goodness. What are you doing? You are giving life. You are giving therapy to that person. Maybe that's what they need at that particular time.
Some of these people, you don't know, they might have come from places where they've been hurt. Some people have come from ministries that have wounded them. Some people have, you know, people are dealing with a lot of things. So therapy comes from the Bible. Therapy comes from forgiveness. Therapy comes from love. Therapy comes from listening. Allow people to speak and just listen. You don't have to give your own story that is worse off than this other person. Sometimes you can just listen. Somebody going through something, they call you, listen. Make an effort to listen to them. Don't judge them. You might have a better idea, but you know what? Maybe that's not the day. Just listen to them. When somebody listens to you, it's therapy. And where is that? It's in the Bible. Praise the Lord. So you can look at many, many things. You can trace them back to the Bible. At the end of the day, you will know that everything we need is in the Bible. Amen. Amen. The Bible says, a soft answer turneth away wrath in Proverbs. What is that? It's therapy. Talk nicely to someone, you know, it sends away their wrath. Just like even your creditor, when he's coming after you, the first thing, advice they give is that you must write them a good letter. You say, hello, Bank of America. I owe you $2 million. I apologize. Things are not well with me. Can you please give me time? They will just say, approved. Why? Because it's a soft answer. Anyway, that's not my sermon tonight. I'm talking about reviving, renewing, and refreshing. Now, this concept, now we know that this scripture talks about the resurrection, and that is true. But I don't want us to ignore that there is also a renewal in our daily life. For example, we know that at the resurrection, all creation will be renewed naturally. The creatures are waiting for the manifestation of Christ. The earth is waiting for the manifestation of Christ. But there's also a renewal that we have to go through daily in our lives. Because guess what? The plants, they have to shed their leaves. And when they shed their leaves, they have to go through winter. And then they come up with new leaves, a better life. That also has to happen in our daily lives. We thank the Lord for the trustees. They remodeled this church. You know what? When they remodeled this church, first time I walked through the door, I said, wow, we've got a brand new church. This is beautiful. What was it? It was a renewal of an old building. Because human beings, by nature, we get tired of doing the same things over and over again. We get tired of doing the same thing over and over again. We are creatures of habits. But habits, whilst they are good, many times they are a danger to us. Because by doing something as a habit, you lose the value of it. So sometimes, you know, that's why companies, they remodel a car. They will have a Ford pickup truck. You know, they'll say, oh, we have remodeled, we've got a new face. And then they'll charge people an extra $30,000. And people will still buy that car. Nothing has changed. The engine is the same. But you know what? It's been refreshed. Because that's the human nature. We want a renewal. We don't want our eyes to see the same thing. We don't want when we go through the same thing over and over again, you know what? It wearies us. How many knows that? And that's the same thing with Christians. We can all act super spiritual, but you know what? We also need renewal every once in a while. We also need a revival every once in a while. You know, when we talk about revival, people think about, you know, the big revivals, or the Welsh revival, or the Branham revival. I'm talking about micro, individual, local level revivals. I'm talking about family revivals. Revivals, even in marriages. You know, like my dear friend Noah Cockman is now enjoying his best life. You know, very soon he'll get married, right? And I tell young people, during your honeymoon, enjoy yourself. Because you're going to live the rest of your marriage trying to come back to that. So the first years of your honeymoon, that's your peak. So you got to give it your best shot. Because after that, you will live the rest of your marriage saying, you know what, I want to go back to those days. And you know, that's why you have all these marriage seminars. What are we trying to do? To bring you back to the same honeymoon experience. So that's the same thing with a Christian. You have your experience and you go through the journey. But every once in a while, you need to refresh that old experience. Because you know what? If it dies out, everything just becomes gloomy, right? Good morning, good morning. I love you, I love you. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Same old, same old. Amen. But sometimes, you know what? You need to, you know, find a caregiver, give the kids, go in on a date night, do something. I'm not giving brothers ideas, and I'm just giving an example. I know some sisters are looking at the corner of the eye and say, did you hear that? You know, all of these efforts is trying to renew that old experience. Because you can get used to each other by staying together. Brother Branham spoke to Mida one time. He says, you know, Matt Mida, I want you to be friends with Rebecca. I want you to do this, this. You know, I think you can help Rebecca better if you do this. And Mida was like, no, Billy, that doesn't work. You know what Brother Branham says? Brother Branham says, you know what, honey? I've canceled many couples. And this is what helps. You may not see it that way because we are used to one another. But many people come here, I give them this advice. It works. You know what? Mida kind of sobered up and says, you know what? I'm going to do that. But you learn an important principle there. You can become so used to one another. Especially we believers, you know what? Because we call each other brother and sister. That makes it even much, much worse. Because she can become literally your sister. And he can become literally your brother. And you know brothers and sisters, right? Sometimes they are mean to each other. Sometimes they eat each other's food, you know. You can become so used to each other like that. I'm not preaching on marriage, but I'm giving an example about renewing. I'm too young to preach about marriage. And I can never preach about marriage in Brother Barry's church. You know, it's like preaching to the choir. But the point is, you've got something good. No matter how good it is, every once in a while, it has to be refreshed. Every once in a while, it has to be renewed. If you buy a car, they will tell you the best way to keep your car is regular service. Oil change, you refresh it. You do a 50,000 mile service, you do a 100,000 mile service, you will keep your car as good as new. But if you don't do that, you find yourself trying to buy a car every, 4 years earlier than you are used to. You start to have a lot of problems. And those problems are not because of the car. Those problems are because of maintenance. And many times we come into the same situation. You've been coming to the same church for 20 years. You see the same pastor. You read the same Bible. You read the spoken word. Guess what? You're going to get tired. You said, I've listened to this tape. This is the fifth time. I know this is what Brother Branham is going to say. Oh, he's going to say this. Oh, he's going to say that, you know. It's easy to become tired. Because you know what? The devil plays a very long game. It's like the vultures in the Sahara. They will be watching you from 40,000 miles away. And you'll be walking. You think you're alone? Just drop down. And you see them coming close. So you'll be walking and walking. Okay, the vultures will be watching from a very long distance. Because they know that if you don't get water, you'll get tired. When you get tired, you'll faint. And if you faint, you can survive for 5 days faint, right? Somebody who's fainted is not dead, right? It's just faint. You can be faint for a couple of hours or days until you literally die. And sometimes, if you don't find the waters of the revival of the Spirit, you can be faint in church. You can be faint coming to the church, holding your Bible, but you are faint. You know, I was working on a very huge project this last week, just a very, very huge project. And I was, you know, working with this, my director, and we're like, we're exchanging notes, like, this is almost midnight. And he says, Aaron, does these numbers make sense? I don't know. I can't even know. I can't even tell if I'm thinking right. I think we have reached zombie mode. I said, I agree. I think we need to get some rest. You know, it's like you wake over time for 7 consecutive days or 2 weeks until you don't know whether you are sleeping or you are awake. You just become a zombie. right? You're just running through coffee, just doing all these things. And sometimes that can happen as Christians. We can become zombies. Just come to church, hear the song service, just go through the motions, go back home. We're just zombies. And we have, you know, devotion with the family. Oh, I know he's going to sing that song. He likes that song. Okay, good. And then read the scripture, go to sleep. Wake up in the morning. Good morning, honey. How was your night? And that's not a very good place to be in. Because that gives you vulnerability. Because you are no longer as conscious as you're supposed to be. You are not enjoying. You have your salvation, but you don't have the joy of your salvation. Brother Abraham says you can never lose your salvation. But you can lose the joy of your salvation. When you're in zombie mode, you know what? You try to find things to keep yourself awake. What do you turn to? I turn to caffeine, right? I drink a lot of coffee, right? Literally in text audit season. And that's what happens if you're a Christian. You may turn to caffeine. And this caffeine, spiritually, may not be the word. Because you're trying to get yourself through the day. You may find yourself with some spiritual Red Bulls, right? And Celsius. And whatever, you know, poison you take. But it's poison, praise the Lord. What am I saying? We need to refresh. We need to revive. We need to reset our experiences. Like this coming weekend, we have got some meetings. It's very easy for us to go through the motions. Oh, you know what? We're going to have the best banana pudding in the world. Brother Aaron is going to bring something, this. And then it just becomes motions, right? But you know what? We can change that. We can say, Lord, we'll still bring the best banana pudding. We still have the best fellowship, but I want to make a conscious decision. I want to pray for the upcoming meetings. Lord, speak to my heart. Lord, speak to us. Lord, visit us. Lord, touch our lives. You know, when you become conscious of it, that's the starting point. Amen. Isaiah 40, verse 29. He giveth power to the faint. Now, this scripture could not have been written unless God knew that people will faint. But the scripture is there because God knows that people will faint. Sheep will faint. I've been through times where I'm high up on the mountain. And I've also been through seasons where I'm literally fainting. I'm just dragging my feet to church. You're not in the world. You're not backslidden, but you're just faint. And to them that have no might, he increases. In other words, you have no strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. How do you fall? You fall because you become weary. You know, Samson was a mighty man. But the Bible says, Delilah kept asking. And the Bible says, Samson became weary. In other words, Samson fainted. So he was like, you know what? I'm tired of this woman. Let me just give her what she wants so that I can have peace. Famous words for most men, right? Samson was faint because Delilah is a type of the devil. The devil is relentless. He plays the long game. And Samson, he was able to resist for one day, for 2 days, for 3 days. But you know what? It's not about day one or day two. It's about he that endures to the end. So it's not about speed, it's about endurance. Have you ever seen those Maasai marathon runners? I'm very proud of them. Because they've got strong endurance. Why? Because they are raised in deserts, right? They are raised in rough terrain in Kenya, and you can never outrun them in a marathon because they just have strong endurance. So that's the same thing with Christianity. People are interested in speed, but the Bible is interested in endurance. That's why you find people, they've got so much speed. Oh, they're having a revival, and then after 5 years, oh, I don't see Brother Branham in the message. I don't see the message in the Bible. I'm going back. You know what? They have lost strength. They went too fast, but they have lost strength. And it's amazing how that the animals that live the longest are the slowest animals. Like the tortoise, you know, You can just like, oh, poor little terrorist. You know, those are the ones that live the longest. And sometimes the people who stay longer in the faith are the slowest. Or you say, ah, Brother Jason, I don't think he's going to go anywhere. Come to find out, 100 years is in the message. Amen. But the first ones, they come fast, then they go fast. It's not about speed. It's about endurance. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, his soul was vexed unto death. He was like, oh, I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm tired of resisting. You know, it's like, you know, when you stay in the message for such a long time and you don't do all these things and the Lord does not give you the Holy Ghost, you'll become tired. You become tired of resisting. And that's what happened to Samson. Now, I read this article recently. They say there's been a record surge of converts in Catholics. In other words, there's a revival among Catholics. And whether you know it or not, we are living in a time of a revival, according to the Bible. Is the revival of the civil rights movement? Is the revival of the Catholic Church? Is the revival of the nationalistic spirit? The way even politics is charged right now is the levels that we last saw in World War II. The way people are so nationalistic, whether it's in America, Europe, Israel, Iran, wherever, there's just a strong, resolute nationalistic spirit among the people. Africa, people are just so supercharged and very nationalistic. It's a revival. Because all of these things, they are pointing to the Armageddon, right? The coming of the Lord. So why am I saying this? I'm saying this, there's a revival in a good way, but there's also revival in a bad way. Sometimes when you see some things happening in the world, don't get carried away. Some of those things are actually worldly revivals. As the Bible will tell us, the prophet in the Feast of Trumpets, he says, the drying of the river Euphrates, spiritual in Revelations, is the revival of the Roman kingdom. Right now, what is more appealing in terms of religion than the Catholic? Because the Pope will come up and say, God is a God of peace. And everybody says, you know what? This sounds reasonable. Why should I go to a mega church? You know? Now, the prophet says, a revival, to my opinion, doesn't consist where of bringing in new members. A revival doesn't consist of a bunch of conversions. That's what we think. We say, oh, the Billy Graham revival. Yes, it was a revival, but guess what? It's not about members. Although those things go along with a revival, but a revival is to revive what you have already got. Just to get them revived. You know, you think about, you know, when you used to listen to tapes every day, when you used to pray. When you lose those things, you need a revival. And the revival is reviving the old things that you already have. You know, it applies in many things in our lives. I gave the example of marriage. You know, you think about the old feeling you had when you were buying chocolates every day and writing text messages, and you were always on your phone talking to your sweetheart in courtship and making all these promises, I'll give you the sun and the moon. The whole world will go dark, right? You need to revive that. Amen. So that's what a revival is. It's bringing those old things back. Because they can just slip away from us. You feel it in your heart. You don't need anyone to discern. You just know it in your heart. You know what? This is gone. Amen. The prophet says, a revival doesn't mean getting new members. It's reviving what we've got. I stood some time ago watching the waves of the Lake Michigan. Standing out there. And the prophet is saying, a revival is like the lake or the sea. You know, the waves come. And when the waves come, you know what they do? They wash away all the debris from the ocean. They wash away all the bad stuff from the ocean. That's what a revival is. And we as Christians, we also need to have revivals in our own lives. Where we know what we feel like. I don't know whether, you know, most of you have been. How many have seen garage sales? You know, I've passed through garage sales and I see some of the stuff on sale. You're going to be like, buddy, you can just throw this away, you know. But I respect that person trying to clean his garage. Many of us are overdue for a spiritual garage sale. And some of you don't need to sell. Just give it away. Just go to a thrift shop. Go to Salvation Army store. Just give it away. Because, you know, it's like my garage. I'm terrified of it. There is a bunch of stuff. Useless stuff. I'm not a hoarder, but somehow I just found myself with stuff. And sometimes as a message believer, you can find yourself with a lot of stuff. You ask yourself, where did I even buy this? Where did I sign up for this? Just like our credit card, right? If you don't read it carefully, you will say, you see a bunch of charges. Like, oh, where did I sign up for this? And you know what? You need to go back and go through it and say, oh, you know what? I need to sign out of this. I need to cancel this subscription. Because you can be loaded with a bunch of stuff that you don't even need or use. Right. You know how when you are desperate, you just want to say, you know what, I want this tool. I want a quick fix. Oh, this app, it will help you find the cheapest airline. Or if you can just pay $5 per month, you know, and then subscribe. And they get you a cheap ticket. And then you never use it again. But you're still getting charged. But then you have to go back and say, you know what, I need to get rid of this stuff. And sometimes we have to do that. Sometimes we need to go back and take inventory of our lives. And say, do I need this in my garage? Some of our garages, if the fire department would come to our houses, they would condemn us because they are fire hazards. There's gasoline in there, there's everything, there's no ventilation, there's a bunch of stuff. There's guns, some of them, they are not concealed properly. There's sharp tools, you know. And we as Christians, we can come to that spot where we carry a heavy load of things that we don't need. And right now, it's becoming difficult to park my car in my garage. I'm just giving an example. I know most Americans, they don't do that, actually. But you get the point. Sometimes we run out of space for the Word of God. Sometimes we run out of space for the Bible. Sometimes we run out of space for the Holy Ghost. There's no room for the Holy Ghost in my life. My calendar is full. I've got this at 2 o'clock. I've got this at 4 o'clock. I've got this at 4:30. I've got this at 5 o'clock. I'm back to back with meetings. When are you going to have time for the Holy Ghost? When are you going to have time to meditate upon the Word? When are you going to have time with your family? When are you going to have time with your children? We don't have that time. Why? Because we have filled our garages with junk. And I'm saying you need to refresh your garage. You need a revival. You need to pressure wash your house. You need to repaint your house. You know, there are people who make a lot of money by spinning houses, right? They find an old house, they just clean it up, they brush it up, they paint it. And, you know, you unlock a lot of value by doing that. And as a Christian, you can unlock a lot of spiritual value by just cleaning up your life. Just coming after, just standing up and saying, Lord, I'm done with this. Lord, I'm done with this. Lord, I don't need this. Lord, I don't need this. One time I asked Brother Ben McCaffrey, I said, are you going to those meetings? He says, no. I said, why? And he says, sometimes you just need to say no without any reason. I said, you know what? That's a good principle. Sometimes you don't even need to read a scripture. Just ask yourself, do I need this? Maybe not. Why? Because you can get a habit of just saying to a bunch of things and you fill up your life. Amen. My time is running. Oh my goodness, I'm still fine. The prophet says, same reason God has a revival in the same reason. He puts a revival on the ocean. He puts a revival like a lake. Amen. Now, he says here in Revelation chapter 4, verse 15, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in the temple. And he seated them in the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst no more, neither shall the sun light upon them or heat. For the lamp which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them day and night and shall lead them unto living fountains. What is living fountains? In the Bible, what is called living waters in the Bible is water that is not stagnant. So it's naturally, a water that is not stagnant is called a living water, a living spring, right? Why is it a living spring? It's renewing itself. If you have a fountain in your neighborhood, many times the county will say you must have a fountain, right? Because if you don't have a fountain, the mosquitoes will come and breed. It becomes a danger to the community, right? So many times if you have a fountain, you will be asked to have an electric pump, right? That makes it a spring, whatever you call it. I don't have good English, right? But you get my point. Why? Because if those waters become stagnant, it becomes very dangerous. And that's the same with a Christian. You need the living waters of the Spirit that keep bubbling every day, every weekend, every Sunday, every month, every year. Because if it becomes stagnant, the spiritual mosquitoes will come and breed. And before you know it, you've got a bunch of mosquitoes. Where did they come from? Why? Because you have the waters, but it's now stagnant. Or you say, Brother Aaron, 14 years ago, I went to a camp. I had an experience. What happened to that? Oh, Brother Aaron, when I was praying sometime 20 years ago, this happened. Then what happened to that? The waters became stagnant. But I'm here to tell you there's a pump tonight that can refresh your waters. There's a fire tonight that can refresh your experience. And we need that every once in a while. The preaching of the word, every time when we come to church, it's a chance for a revival. People are only concerned with the personality revivals. Oh, there's this brother, so and so. The personality revivals are over. Brother Branham was the last messenger. We are never going to have a personality revival. What we're going to have is personal experiences with God, where you as an individual, you are shut in with God and speak to God, have an encounter with God. Because personalities, they come and they go. And guess what? Personalities change. I don't want a God of personality. I want a God that I can live with. Brother Aaron can be a mighty preacher, but guess what? You'll be alone in your life the whole day. You only see Brother Aaron maybe once on a Sunday or Wednesday. What about the rest of the week? So I don't want personalities. I want Jesus. I want Christ that can live with me. Christ that can dwell with me in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. Someone that I can talk to. Someone that can give me strength. That's what I want. I don't want to follow personalities. Never follow the word and follow Jesus Christ. So the living waters is the waters that are constantly flowing and bubbling. And that's what it is. If we are Christians, we must keep our fountains living. Amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 2, the Bible says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Now, God is addressing the Ephesians. He says, the problem I have with you, Ephesians, is you left your first love. Remember, I spoke about Christian honeymooners, right? That's the first love. And many times the Bible will always be telling you, go back to your first love. Rejoice with the wife of thy youth, right? So every scripture will point you back. You know, the Bible, Christianity is like a cycle. You start here and God says, go back. Go back to Bethel. Go back to the promised land. Go back. So it's like a loop, right? You travel, but you have to come back. You travel, but you have to come back. So the Ephesians, they needed to go back to their first love. Now, I love this scripture. Why? Because many people, sometimes they feel like, you know, if I do this, is it legalistic? If I do that, you know what? It's not about legalism. It's about love. The things that we do for Christ is because we love him. So Christ is not giving us a legislation. Say, do this. He said, just go back to your first love. Like the things that you do for your children, you want to do it out of love. Not out of obligation or legislation. The things that you do for your spouse, you want to do it out of love. If it becomes a burden to you, then there's a problem. But if you love God, there are things that you just naturally do because you love God. And God is expecting that because God is our husband. And as our husband is saying, you have left your first love. Go back and do the first works. Because in the church ages, Christ never said, I know your faith. He says, I know your works. So the modern ministers will tell you, God doesn't care about your works, but how come he says in Revelation, I know thy works. I know thy works. In every age, he says, I know your works. So your works show who you are. They show what you have inside. Because faith is works expressed. So God is not saying, go and believe in your heart the old way. He's saying, go and do the first works. Is that what he says, verse 5? Remember, therefore, what? Where art thou fallen? And what? Repent and what? Do the first works. You know, I like, one of the reasons why I like Brother Barry is that his approach to the gospel is very practical. You know, people want a gospel that is so mysterious, it's out there in the clouds, no one can touch it. I like a gospel that is practical. Whether it's families, finances, I want a gospel that is practical. And the gospel is always practical. Because it's based on reality, because the truth is reality. So here God says, go and do. It's something practical. Have you ever received an email that starts with action item? So this is an action item. Go and do the first works. Amen. I'll close in the next 10 minutes. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door. And he bowed himself toward the ground. This is Abraham when he saw those three angels. And he said, my Lord, if I found favor in thy sight, pass not away. Pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray thee, be fetched and wash your feet and rest yourself from under a tree. Now, I said we must be revived. And I defined from the message what a revival is. A revival is like a leg that is, you know, washing away the old stuff, right? It's like doing a garage sale, reclaiming. Now we're talking about refreshing. It's the same thing, right? Same concept, but a different word. Here Abraham is saying to these travelers, I want you to be refreshed. He's saying to the angels, if I found favor, please sit down. Let me wash your feet. Let me give you some food. You need to be refreshed. Because these people back in the day, they were traveling on feet. They were not traveling with like, you know, gasoline cars. They were not in they didn't have private jets. People would walk. That's why Jesus Christ, you know, they had to wash each other's feet. So this is where you get the concept of being refreshed. You walk for 5 miles. You appreciate when someone says, hello there, my brother. Please come on in. Have a seat. Can I wash your feet? Washes your feet. Gives you a little perfume. Give you some nice cool water. You know what? That refreshes you. Because you've been going on a journey and you are tired and you are weary. You need someone to sit you down and give you a nice meal and some water and refresh your feet and refresh your soul. And that's the same thing in the spirit. We are living, we are going through a journey. But sometimes you need to step back and be refreshed. You need to be replenished. How many have seen... okay, I'm not going to ask because I know we've got very spiritual people here. There's something called the Formula One. Americans, they have their own NASCAR. Is that what you call it? NASCAR. The cars, they go in a race. But you know what? If you look at them, you may think they never stop. But guess what? They stop. And the stop is called a pit stop. And at that pit stop, there's a team of like 20-something people that will change the tires quickly, change a few things. Within the split of a second, the car is back on track. Because if it becomes an engineering problem, you can't go forever without a pit stop. Sometimes, as Christians, we need a pit stop. Where you just park your car and the brothers, they come, they remove your old tires and the Holy Ghost just comes and gives you new oil. They refresh you. You need that. Because you know what? No matter how tough you think you are, you cannot keep going for 25 laps without a pit stop. Yeah. Oh, brother, I've been doing this for many years. You are in danger. Yeah. You need a pit stop. to refresh your tires, to refresh your engine, to refresh yourself. You say, oh, because you know what? In your mind, you think, you know what? If I stop, it will delay me. No, it's actually good for you. Sometimes you need to stop. Sometimes, you know, as old people, we feel like, I'm not old, but sometimes we say, oh, the young people must go to camp. You need to go to camp. I want my kids to receive the Holy Ghost. You need to receive the Holy Ghost. You know, I want my kids to have a closer walk. You need a closer walk with God. You need a pit stop. I wish my kids would catch this. You catch it. Because you know what? The devil is very smart. This is why many preachers, they don't go to heaven. Because the devil will make you feel like you're okay. This is never for you. This is for someone else. The messages are never. You are clean. You are the best. You are the bride. That's the message we hear every day. I like them, but sometimes I feel like they do a lot of damage. Because if you keep getting told, you're the bride, you're the bride, you're the bride. I get it. I get it, I'm the bride, brother. I get it. You have said it like the 17th time. But I need a pit stop. I'm tired. I'm the bride, but I'm tired. Yes, I'm the bride, but I am barely holding on. You know what you need? You need a touch from the Lord. Amen. You need a touch from... I don't even need to tell you the story of the violin. You know it, but you get the point. The violin needed a what? A touch from the master's hand. Yeah. Amos said, I hate... God is saying, I despise your feast, and I will not smell your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fed beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs. Think about it. These people were worshiping, and God is saying, this is noise. I will not hear the melody of thy vials. God is saying, you know what? This has become a tradition. You're just doing it like a robot, like ChatGPT. You ask it, it'll just like... ChatGPT, what about this? There's no life. There's a camp, we're going to camp. We enjoyed camp. There's no life to it. There's no sincerity. There's no longing. There's no desire. There's no anticipation. There's no thirst. And God is saying, it's noise. Religion is noise to God. God is never touched by religion, by how long your jacket is, how oversized it is, or how much you put your head like this, or how much you walk like this. God is not impressed by that. God is impressed by a sincere heart, a humble heart that says, it's me, Lord, I need help. Sometimes people get worried and say, you know what, I hope he wasn't preaching me about me. I'll tell you something. When I come to church, I say, Lord, preach to me. Amen. If this message is about me, thank you, Lord. Amen. What's the point of coming to church if God can't address you? Amen. Oh, Lord, I hope he's not talking about me. No, you know what, Lord, I hope you are talking to me. Amen. I hope you are addressing me, Lord. I need that. I need help, Lord. Amen. You know, when Jesus Christ said, one of you is going to betray me, everyone was saying, is it me, Lord? Is it me, Lord? There was one guy who was quiet. Judas. But others were saying, Lord, help me. I need your grace, Lord. You would rather say, Lord, I want the Holy Ghost when you have it, than to think you don't need it when you don't have it. There's no harm in saying, you know what? Yes, I have the Holy Ghost, but I want a closer walk with God. And he says here, thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. God hates tradition. God wants a living experience. Traditions are good. They are good traditions. Like Paul says, we have no other traditions in the churches of God. But if it becomes carnal tradition, like we just play a tape every Sunday and that's it, that becomes a tradition. That is not life. Amen. Tapes are good, but we should never make a tradition out of them. We should never make catechism from the message. How many have seen pictures like this online? As I close, the musicians can come. How many have seen pictures like this? Amen. They're very attractive, right? Because these people know that as human beings, sometimes we need to recharge. Sometimes we need to reset. And in places like these, many times, like if you go to Boone, you won't have good mobile reception. Your Verizon may not work, no matter how powerful it is. Because you know what? You are going to the mountains, you need to reset. These are natural mountains. But sometimes you need a spiritual mountain where you can reset and recharge. We like to do this annually as human beings. We set our calendars, we set our goals, we are deliberate. We say, you know what, I have to have a vacation. I take my vacation around this time, I'll go out. You know, all of us have bucket lists. How many have a bucket list? I have a bucket list. God bless you, brothers. I have a bucket list. Oh, my goodness. I have a bucket list, right? I want to go to Switzerland. Somebody can send me on a missionary trip to Switzerland. That will be the hand of God. Amen. But you need this once in a while. You live in the city. You look at emails the whole day. You look at screens. Sometimes you need a break from that. What do you do? You take out, you go away and you recharge. Some people, they will take away, they will take their pressure to their recharge stations. Some people will carry their laptops and their phones and their PlayStations and everything. They will take it to vacation. When they come back, they are still tired. You know what? They found an opportunity to recharge, but they never recharged. It's like people who come to church, but the whole service, they never sit down to listen to the word. They never sing songs. They don't have quiet time. They are thinking about the next day. They are looking at their phones. It's like someone who goes to a vacation in the Alps of Switzerland. And they carry the same stuff they have from Charlotte or Gastonia. It's not going to help you. When it's time for you to recharge, recharge. Make it count. Get away, throw away your phone. If you can, throw away your laptop. Don't break it. And just enjoy the moment, the breeze, the mountains. Connect with the earth. That's what they say, right? Walk without your shoes and connect with the earth. And I'm saying you need to connect with God. You might not have to, you might not need to go to a mountain, but sometimes you just need to connect with God. You know, I've got a lot of these pictures, brothers. I can give you if you want them. But you get my point, right? Look at this. Who wouldn't want to be in this spot after working yourself and you're tired and you're weary? Just want to sit with your family and tell them stories with a view like this. This is natural, but spiritually we need this. The Bible talks about the refreshing in the presence of God. I didn't touch the last word, renew. Maybe I'll continue some other time. Sometimes in marriages, we need to renew our vows. Sometimes we need to renew our promises. Sometimes we need to renew our promises to ourselves, to our wives, to our children. That's the same thing with Christianity. Sometimes you need to renew your vow before the Lord. And say, Lord, I was baptized 20 years ago. I'm renewing that vow before your presence. Let's stand up on our feet. If you are here tonight and you say, Lord, I want to recharge, you can show by raising your hand. I also want to recharge, friends. Ministers, they burn out so quickly because we do a lot and we weigh ourselves too fast. And we need recharging more than anyone else. And Brother Abraham says, God's people need a juniper tree. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we raise our hands to thee, Lord. Lord Jesus, you told us in your word that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We are here, Father, tonight to renew our strength before thee. We are here to refresh our experience. We are here to revive the things, the first love, the things that we have lost. Lord Jesus, there's so many pressures out there and many things that we have gathered. Father, our cups are full of things, Lord. Some are scriptural, some are not. Some are just many things that are weighing our lives. We are asking that you wash us and clean us, Lord. Help us this hour, Father. Lord Jesus Christ, for we look to you, O God. We know that your coming is nigh. And Lord, we know that there is still a journey ahead of us. Help us to travel light, O God. Help us to be comfortable, Father. Lord Jesus, I think of myself sometimes, if I wear a suit through the day, I can't wait to get home and just wear something comfortable. Lord, we want to be dressed in the comfortable vesture of the Holy Ghost, that we may be able to travel in our journey with thee. Help us, Lord God. We have had many traumatic experiences in our lives, many setbacks, many things have happened. We are asking that in this Easter season, help us to let go of those things. Help us to forgive one another. Help us to forgive those that have wronged us. Help us to renew, Lord, to lay away all the burdens. Some of us, oh God, have had bitterness in our lives. Bitterness against our neighbors. Bitterness against the Lord. Bitterness against something that or someone. Lord, we are letting go of that tonight. Father, we just want to be free lambs, Lord. We know that sheep, they come through a shearing season, where the shepherd is to shear them. If they don't shear them, then it will become so weight upon them. They can't travel. They get tired because of the weight of the wool. And tonight, Father, we are just saying, Lord, may you shear away the wool, oh God. Help us, Father, to go, Lord Jesus Christ, like little rams, shouting and jumping, Father. Give us, Lord Jesus, clean hearts. Give us clean hands. Give us clean minds. Help us, Father, restore us back. Restore our families, Lord. Restore our marriages, Lord. Restore the things that are hanging down, some that are ready to perish. Lord, when we used to testify of the message to new people, when we used to love everybody, when we used, Lord God, to think highly about every believer, about everyone, restore those things back to us, Lord. When we never used to be conceited, Lord, when we needed your grace, when we were looking forward to you speaking to us every service, every time. Lord, we have lost some of those things. Some of us raising our hands, Lord, we have been offended by certain experiences. Some of us have given up on certain things. Lord, we need your grace, Lord Jesus. Help us, Almighty God. Lord, as we are facing these meetings, Lord, may you visit us, Lord God, in a mighty way. Lord, we have a minister that has traveled many thousands of miles away. But without you, Lord, it's all in vain. Without you coming to our meetings, it's all in vain. Our songs become noise. Our gathering become a tradition. And we don't want that, Lord. We want our experience to be fresh every day. We want it to be like the manna that never went bad. Grant it, Lord. We thank you as we commit this church into your hands. Bless our pastor, and wherever he is, Lord, renew his strength and be with him. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Brother Jason, God bless you. We'll see you over the weekend. Come early. The parking lot is going to fill up. Have a blessed week. Happy birthday to Brother Chris, turned 40. And we love him and we appreciate him. God bless you.
Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where thou.
Sing the first and last verse.
I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me.
Saturday evening at 7 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. That's from Brother Peter. So Saturday evening, 7 p.m. for the young people. And also a reminder, some brothers, young guys, if you're free right after the service to help Brother Tom set up tables and chairs, he'd really appreciate it. As we go, let's sing, Take Up Your Cross, key of F.
Take up your cross and follow
Yes, he is. God,
deliverer.